Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, we have some exciting news to share, which I'm sure everybody has heard already, but we have a new Roni housewife.
Yes, Ebony K. Williams has officially joined The Real Housewives of New York City.
She is the first Black housewife of the franchise, and so far, and I think the big question is, how will Ebony get along with Ramona?
Well, it's funny because in Bravo's chat room this week, Giselle said it best when she said, I can't wait for Ebony to tell Ramona where to go and how fast.
Especially people who know New York City and how diverse this place is. I mean, it is a true melting pot of cultures and people. So it's great to see that there is finally some representation from the Black community. And maybe this opens up the door for even more diversity in our housewives in the future.
Yes.
Well, also last weekend, Cynthia Bailey from Real Housewives of Atlanta finally got her chill and married Mike Hill.
Yes. Hashtag chill2020 was all over Instagram.
I mean, you want to talk about Andy's baby shower as being one of the most epic events with so many Bravo celebrities. I think Cynthia and Mike's wedding rivaled that. I mean, we had Real Housewives of Potomac. We had former cast members from Atlanta, Eva, as part of the wedding party. There were Married to Medicine folks there. I know Quad was there. I mean, it was totally a Bravo event.
I think our invitation got lost in the mail.
Thanks, Cynthia.
So Bravo's next virtual happy hour is going to be October 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Get your tickets now. This virtual happy hour will celebrate Halloween and allow you to meet some of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City ahead of the series premiere, along with some of your favorite Real Housewives from other cities.
That's right. We have Shannon Bedore from Real Housewives of Orange County, Giselle Bryant from Real Housewives of Potomac, Mary Cosby from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, plus Ashley Darby, Jackie Goldschneider, Stephanie Holman, and Meredith Marks and Whitney Rose from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Host Darren Karp will kick things off with a Q&A and some spooky games, followed by the chance to ask the wives your very own questions. Get your tickets now. We'll have a link in our description.
Okay, well, what are we talking about today?
Well, Real Housewives of Orange County premiered.
Oh my God.
Plus, we need to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac. Mm-hmm. And then Below Deck Med, the finale.
I know. I mean, as much as I don't want the season to end whenever we get here, I'm really looking forward to this reunion.
Yes. Because we are getting one. That's the headline.
That is the headline. And it's going to be worth it.
And later in this episode, I have an interview with Bronwyn Wyndham Burke. We talk all about the OC premiere and that crazy revelation at the end. Just as a disclaimer for anyone listening, yes, we're still recording from home. Yes, still inside our small New York apartments. And yes, there is construction going on in my building. So that's the banging.
All right, well, let's talk Orange County because we have been without the ladies of Orange County for a while. And there's a lot to break down in this episode.
I'm so excited. Okay. First of all, I just wanted to say that I love seeing Shannon where she is in her life right now. I know that we had heard about it at the end of last season at the reunion. She was already dating John, but we never got to meet him in this setting before. And it just feels like she's met the right person for her.
Yes, he is so darn cute. And I really loved how she was like, all we do is laugh. Like whenever I get around him, all I want to do is laugh hysterically. And I think you could see that in the scene that we saw where, you know, there was silly string. He just was like helping her cook. It seemed like they have a really good chemistry. And I do remember, Megan, do you remember they did come into the office together one of the last times?
Yes.
Remember?
Oh my God. Yes. That feels like ages ago.
I know. I mean, it truly was. So it was probably very early on in their relationship. But at that point, I even felt like just her bringing him into the Bravo offices was a sure sign that they had something really strong. Because it was at the end of last season when they had first started dating. And I think she was still doing a little bit of press or something around last season. And I remember seeing him and being like, he is cute.
He is very handsome. I also just think I now look at relationships differently given my own experience and looking at Shannon in her life now. And when they were doing flashbacks of her and her ex, it's just like making two puzzle pieces fit together that don't fit together. And then when you find someone who it's like, oh, this clicks into place. This makes so much more sense. And it's interesting seeing her go through that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just all of the similarities that they have in their life, especially their kids and the connections that their kids have. And just the way Shannon was like, if it took me this long to find this level of happiness, like it's worth it, you know, because she really did go through so much with David and for so long. So to see her come out the other side with this kind of relationship, I mean, she's earned it.
If I had to wait until I was 55 years old to experience what I'm going through right now, I would do it all over again.
Okay, before we get to the big revelation at the end of the episode, I, of course, noticed, you know, Bronwyn wasn't drinking. There are a few occasions throughout the episode where she turns down a drink and she always has a reason. I genuinely did not think it was because she was sober. I thought to myself, she got called out at the reunion last year because all the women were like, Bronwyn got it so easy. You guys didn't even see like all of the times that she was really drunk, you know, but it was playful. It was more like, lucky you, you know what I mean? Like that was never caught on camera. So when she wasn't drinking, I was like, oh my God, she's being very smart. She's like the second season curse for her. She's trying to sidestep it by just not drinking on camera. And I was like, very savvy.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's, I don't always pick up on that kind of stuff either. And this has happened to me multiple times with friends who are pregnant and like, we'll be around each other and they won't have told me yet. And I'll be like, oh, do you want some wine? And they'll be like, no. And I'll be like, are you sure? And they're like, no, it's okay. And then later on in the conversation, they'll be like, well, I have something to tell you, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even see that coming. And I could have picked up on the clues along the way. But, you know, sometimes I am just too wrapped up in, you know, trying to get people to drink alcohol. And, you know, then actually picking up on like the clues that are right in front of me, you know.
Right.
I mean?
Totally.
So, yeah, I was totally, it didn't really, you know, click to me and until some of the women started pointing out their observations too. But I do want to also talk a little bit about the new housewife, Elizabeth. So, you know, my first impression of her is that Elizabeth is the OC rich that we need,
yes.
Right? And like, sorry, Gina, it's like that was not in my mind, like the OC that we want.
Oh my God, you sound like Bronwyn.
I mean, it's like, I really do like Gina. I do. But like when we're talking housewives, I mean, even just the way Shannon was like, oh, this is nice. Like looking at the bunk beds and the rooms that the kids are sharing. And I don't know, it's just not the glam that I expect from Orange County or the over the top, the excessiveness that we get in something like Bronwyn's home. But I feel like Elizabeth is bringing us a little bit of that with her own spin.
Yeah, when you have a billionaire ex, I think you're bringing something to the table as a housewife.
Right, exactly. I mean, she is a former billionaire's wife who now is just doing her own thing with his money. I mean, it's in her tagline, right? Like, I married rich and now I'm making more money. So I'm really interested to see the journey that will go on with her, but I'm getting the richness literally. And I need.
Okay. But we have to talk about the fact that she's not having sex with her boyfriend because she's technically married still.
So wait, why aren't you having sex with your boyfriend?
I know it's a weird situation, but it's like I'm constantly horny
but you
all
guys,
day long.
And he won't give it to you?
No.
Why?
Because I'm married.
I've never heard of a man ever not wanting to get his rocks off.
If I lived by those rules, I would be dead.
Well, right. So it's a little bit unconventional and conventional at the same time. It feels like maybe her boyfriend is really traditional. And
no, that doesn't make sense. Who? What adult man is that traditional? Like, what? No.
I don't know. I mean,
because they've been together how long? Like 3 years?
Is that how long she said?
Maybe I'm wrong. I swear I heard that. And I was like, huh?
I hope they're doing everything but, you know, P and V. I hope.
What?
I don't know. Everyone makes their own rules. It is pretty shocking because I do feel like, is her ex-husband following the same rules? And if not, why are they waiting? I don't know.
He can't be because isn't it like, because didn't she make a comment about how she wanted kids with her ex and he never did. And now he's with someone new and they're having a baby.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. Yes.
I don't understand this at all. And like, this is more so a sign to me of smoke and mirrors than anything else. Like, no, I don't understand what man is like. I can't have sex with you. That doesn't compute for me.
Well, let us not forget this is OC and there are a lot of Christian undertones and sometimes overtones in the lifestyle of these women. So maybe there's something there that she just didn't want to get into. But I mean, truly, it's the opposite of Kelly Dodd, right? Kelly like will not stop talking about how much sex she and Rick are having all the time, multiple times a day. And then Vargas is like, well, I'm just, you know, we're not there yet, but eventually, hopefully, you know, I'm horny as hell. I mean, the poor woman. Like,
I mean, look, I try to be open-minded, but this is one thing that I'm just super judgmental of. Like, no, everyone needs to be having sex and lots of it. This is insane.
It's good for you. It's good for your body.
It's good for you, as Joe Gorga would say. Get the poison out.
Get the poison out. I think about that more often than I would like.
I did not.
I really, really do. Like, Joe Gorga pops in my head so frequently. You know what's weird? And I don't know. I think you're going to understand what I mean when I say this is I'm kind of happy to see Shane.
Okay. Here's what I'll equate it to. There are people in our office who I don't necessarily like, but I think that if we were to go back to work tomorrow, I'd be like, oh my God, hi, it's so nice to see you. Like, it's just this familiarity that feels a little bit like home.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly it. And the journey that we've been on with Shane and Emily so far in her and their time on the show has been such a roller coaster. And I think you and I have gone back and forth so many times on what we think about Shane. And now we're starting to see things from a bit of a broader perspective in their relationship, you know, with Emily talking about, I was in so much pain before my hip surgery. It was, you know, affecting me and the way that I was interacting with my husband and my family. You know, I think we saw Shane in a bit of a different light by the end of last season. And even Gina has mentioned before, like that
she's like, Emily, you're the mean one. Exactly. You know, he gets a bad rap, but it's you.
Yeah. And maybe he just wasn't comfortable on camera. And he does have, you know, very specific religious beliefs in some ways that, you know, apply, I think, make him react certain ways. So I'm excited to see how their relationship might be this season and the difference in the strength that they have in each other again. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I just hope they're as happy as they say they are. I feel sometimes a little bit unsure when a couple has had a bad season, like Emily and Shane did last season. I think they do. People feel this need to sort of overcompensate the next season and be like, no, we're really happy. See, it was just a bad bump in the road. So I just don't trust people in relationships, period. I think everyone sort of is selling themselves on something. Is that too bitter? I just think, you know what I'm saying? Like,
everybody's a salesperson in some way. No, I think it's understanding that you have that perspective.
Right.
You know, like, I think we all can see that sometimes in relationships. You know, I want to go back to Bronwyn's home because it is truly probably my dream house with the movie theater, the club, the meditation room. If you were totally rich, what would be your must-have room in your house?
Oh, it's so, I love that you're asking me this because I think about it all the time because it's always like, oh, I would want a room for this, but no, I would want a room for this.
Yeah.
I feel like I would definitely want a room that was dedicated to my cats. Like even have little cat bunk beds or something. I think about that a lot.
I think there are many ways to interpret that, but I feel like, you know, those cat cafes that they have where there are all these really cool, like obstacle course things like built into the wall for cats. Like you'd need it to be that level. Like it couldn't be like a weird cat lady room that like didn't have a lot. Like,
right. No, it would be chic place for them to like relax,
yeah.
You know?
Okay. Because it could get Grey Gardens very fast in a situation like that.
But I mean, I think I would also want like the typical rich person stuff, like the movie theater, like you were saying, like an actual sort of spa bathroom, which I mean, Shannon has, which is very nice.
Yeah.
What would you have? Oh, no. You know what I would want? I would want like in Richie Rich when he had a McDonald's in his house.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. What would you want?
I think I would also want all of the things that, you know, Bronwyn has and Shannon, including a gym. Like the home gym for me would be so, so huge. Because
would you use it?
I would because... And like I say that now and like watch me have millions of dollars one day and I'll have a whole gym in my basement. And I won't use it. But I feel like I don't like the action of like working out in front of other people.
No, I totally get that.
Like I went to the gym years ago, like very regularly for like a brief period of time. And I just hated the experience of like sharing equipment. And especially now, I mean, given the pandemic and everything, like, you know, this is not the time for me to go sign up for a gym. So if I had access and you know, there are a lot of buildings in New York that, you know, luxury buildings that do have gyms inside of them. Mine is not one of them, but I definitely would love to have more of a gym setup, but also then an indoor pool that would be like part of the gym so I could also swim. Like the indoor pool would be like my number one dream.
It's funny though, she has the club room because don't you sometimes, I mean, especially right now in this pandemic, I walk by these abandoned clubs no one's been in and I just think like, what does it look like right now? Like in the harsh light of day, like the disgusting floors and all of that, like that would be in your home.
Right. But look, she has like 100 people living in her house at all times. She needs any and all forms of entertainment available for those kids. And like,
that's true.
Club, have at it, kids, you know?
Also a library.
Oh yeah, I guess.
I just think they're pretty, you know?
Yeah. Like Beauty and the Beast style, like, yeah,
exactly.
Like absolute, like massive collection. Yeah, I could see that. What do you think about Travis, Gina's man?
I feel like we don't get as clear of a picture of him as we do John, except like he just seems nice.
Yeah.
Which I would never want someone to describe me that way. I think that's like a terrible descriptor of anyone to be like, oh, he's nice. But he does seem like just a nice guy.
I think he's cute as hell, but I will say that I actually can't wait to meet Matt this season because
yes,
we still really haven't done that. And it's been a couple years of Gina being on the show. And from the super tease, we know that he does pop up on camera. And this will be for the first time ever. We've seen pictures of him on Instagram. So yeah, I'm happy Travis is in her life and she seems happy with him. He seems cute, down to earth kind of guy. Very probably different than Matt, but after all this time, I can't wait to actually meet him and see the way they interact with each other, because I feel like that will help us get even more context into their relationship when we see them interact, even though they're split and all of that.
Well, even I'm jumping the gun, but why do you think he would want to come on the show this season? Do you think it's to show people at home? Look, because I mean, at this point, he's faceless to us for the most part. I mean, they're like those Instagram sleuths who've been like, no, look, he's on Tinder. But what I'm saying is, like, we've never seen him on the show. He's a faceless person to us who we've just heard not great things about. So do you think this was his way of like, look, I'm a real person? Because why would you want to come on a show where only negative things have been said about you?
I wonder if it's even more so for Gina, because the way that she's explained him and the things that have happened between them over the last couple of years maybe puts like Gina into question of like, why, if he did all of these things, did you go back to him? Why were you still sleeping with him last year? Like, I wonder if she was like, can you just come on the show and like reveal?
Can you just show how hot you are so people get it? So people understand my choices?
Yeah, well, and the thing is he's going to be a part of her life forever. They share a family. They have kids together. It's not like he's going anywhere from Gina's life. So maybe it will just help really complete her story by having him come on the show. You know, I think that just helps everybody understand more of what their family dynamic was like and what they've been through in the last couple of years. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, should we talk about, you know, the big revelation at the end of the episode with Bronwyn?
So I said to Bronwyn, you'll hear in the interview, but I was surprised that they were able to keep this a secret. And she feels like it wasn't a secret. A lot of people did know. They were just being respectful and never said anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, either way, that's amazing, because I was shocked.
The one line that really resonated with me, and I think will probably resonate with a lot of people, whether you have an addiction or not, is feeling things is scary. You know, she said that to Emily as she was beginning to like have the conversation about, you know, her alcoholism. And I think especially this year, that is something that we all have experienced, is, you know, the when you really feel something like the anxiety or the depression, when you start to lean into those really dark places that we all go through at some point, and especially right now in one of the most tumultuous times, that becomes very scary to really just like fall into that dark place. But sometimes it needs to happen to be able to cope with it and then move forward, right? So I think to her point, she was leaning on alcohol as that escape. And I think a lot of people lean on other things as their escape. Some of it is more healthy coping mechanisms like working out or whatever it may be. But I think just that concept of, you know, feeling things is scary, that just hit me in a different way and made me kind of understand her experience in a different way.
The vulnerability part is hard for me. Like, it's not a comfortable place for me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Why is it so scary?
Feeling things is scary. Feeling all the things is petrifying. I haven't felt these things my whole life.
It is interesting, all these, like, just even watching my friends sort of go through these revelations right now because they don't have distractions around them. And, you know, I think, you know, I have this one friend who would go out every night, and it's not even about the drinking for her. It's about the, I don't have to go home at the end of the day. I can go out. And now she has nothing but being at home. And it's sort of like these realizations she's going through. It's very interesting to watch.
Yeah. It's kind of when you're confronted with your truth. And so many people are being confronted with these difficult truths in their life right now. And so at the end of the day, it seems like Bronwyn has embraced this and is working to find a way to grow and move forward and just help others in a lot of ways. Like, understand that I can be the face of this too. Like, anybody could be the face of this. And, you know, it's interesting because, and I had mentioned this to you, I think last week, Bronwyn messaged me and asked if I had watched the episode yet. And I said, no. And she was like, well, the end of the episode is really important. Like, I can't wait to be able to talk about it. And I had no idea what she was talking about. I thought maybe it had something to do with Black Lives Matter because we know how active she's been in that. And she mentioned something about the community that she's found that she feels so supported by. So I was like, okay, well, what is she talking about? I was like, well, as soon as I watch the episode, I'll let you know. And then once I learned what had happened, I reached out to her again. And I was like, you know, I'm proud of you. I respect that you're, you know, living in your truth and you're putting this out into the world because, you know, she's on a show. She has a whole family. Like, this is obviously going to have a major impact on her life. And that, I think, is the point she was making at the end of the episode. That's the scariest part, like, to know that your life is forever going to change, that, you know, forever means no more alcohol, no more drinking casually with your friends ever again. And I think that's something that's super brave to put out there. And especially having no idea that was going to be a storyline this season. Like, I was really like, wow, this is incredible that she's putting this out there. But I had no idea, because you never really know what people are going through.
Right. I also, you know, to add on the not knowing what people are going through, I think the other reason why it was such a shock is you assume people who get sober, it's because they're not great when they're drunk. You know what I mean? Like, they're mean or they're sad.
Yeah.
She was always so happy, you know?
Right.
And
yeah,
it's so I think it is good. Like you're saying, like it could be anyone. And it is even the person who alcohol doesn't necessarily bring out a bad side of them. It could bring out the fun side of them, but it's still a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm grateful that it wasn't something much worse that caused her to face this truth, you know, because some people, they do
have to hit rock bottom.
Exactly. There's, you know, the law gets involved or something may happen that triggers like, oh no, I have a problem and I need to face it. It seems like she started to come to that realization on her own. So I think it's a good message to put out there, is that it doesn't have to be this like one moment that something happens and it changes your life for everything. It can be just like a realization that you have in your own mind and in your own heart, you know, that like, oh, I have to change my ways.
Yeah.
My one last thought on Orange County, which I think you'll find pretty interesting, is I never thought I would say this, but I do feel like I miss Tamara and Vicky just a little bit.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. That very beginning of the episode, you know, they're showing all of these iconic Orange County moments, and it's like, oh, I miss my friends.
Yeah.
They say the seasons don't change around here, but that's not quite true.
Oh, this is going to get ugly.
When do you ever bring a family van to pick up six people?
That's my opinion!
It is not my fault.
There's the winter of friendships past.
I had these bracelets made. It says three amigas.
The spring of new beginnings.
Yay, new hip!
We're all living in the same neighborhood.
The blistering summer of romances ablaze.
I love you. I'm lucky to have you.
Damn straight.
It feels a little bit like a suburban fairy tale.
And the autumn harvest of reaping what we've sown.
Don't you liar!
Don't you dare accuse me of something that I did.
What is going on right now?
She's a liar face?
You said it!
I said it!
Yes, you did.
I did not.
But take it from me, each season in Orange County is unlike the last.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm sorry.
Get over yourself!
Now get the f*** out of my face!
And the seasons don't just turn. They change us forever.
Some things have happened.
What?
I promise you, this will kill you.
I'm losing it, Sean. I'm cracking.
In terms of storytelling, you know, it was important to be like, you know, we're almost putting to bed the old Orange County and welcoming
right.
in a new wave of this show. And that kind of has to happen, right? For shows to be able to move forward, not just reality TV, but, you know, scripted shows, whatever it may be. You know, I think it is important to respect what had happened in the past, but understand that there's new opportunity going forward.
So I got the chance to speak to Bronwyn Wyndham Burke from Real Housewives of Orange County. We talked about her admission that she's an alcoholic. When that started to play out, what was the timeline in terms of production? Plus, who is she talking to from the group now? It's less people than you would think. And she addresses rumors swirling about her marriage. Here's that interview. Hi, Bronwyn. Welcome back to the podcast. Season 15 premiere. I need to ask you all the questions about it.
Okay. I can't wait.
Wow. The end of episode one was shocking.
My name is Bronwyn and I'm an alcoholic.
Okay. My first question is, how did you guys even keep this under wraps so well? I mean, I feel like our little Bravo super fan sleuths out there always sort of figure out these bombshells before they happen. And I had no idea this was coming. And I work at Bravo, so you would think I would.
I think people did know. I know for a fact some of the Bravo fan sites did know because I'm friends with them. And they had, you know, it's such a sensitive topic that they had enough respect and humanity to keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Faces by Bravo, Real Moms of Bravo, they knew my story, mixing it with Monty, and they've held on to it this whole time. They've been a great support system to me. So I think as much, you know, fun and crazy as this big Bravo family has, it really comes down to it. We do have a lot of respect for each other. And we do support each other.
I would love for you to walk me through the timeline of when you made the decision to stop drinking. You know, where was that in the point? Was it in between seasons? Was it before filming started? Was it right as that happened?
It wasn't a linear progression. This is not my first time trying to get sober. I've been to rehab before about 10 years ago. So this was not a linear progression. I had some issues over the summer where I knew I had to cut back, that it was getting out of control, and that didn't last long. And then it kind of snowballed where I would try different things. Okay, I will only drink on the weekend. I'll switch to beer. And I tried to manage it for a long time. And then at the end of January, I had a really bad brunch with some school moms at a restaurant here, where the next day I woke up and asked my friend, did I do anything, you know, that I should know about? I was blacking out a lot. And he said, yeah, honey, you did. And so I went to Miami for Rick's 60th birthday party with every intention not to drink. And it lasted maybe 5 minutes. And by the last night there, I'd been drinking probably every half an hour around the clock, hiding it from Sean. I'd been hiding alcohol in my house for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months at that point. And I couldn't go more than an hour, half an hour without drinking, without shaking. So I had a moment of clarity and I walked out. It was probably 4 in the morning. And I said, Sean, I can't stop drinking. I need your help. And he literally sat on me while I went detox. And then I had to fly home. And he said, look, if you have one more drink, you're going straight to rehab. And I didn't want to be away from my children. So I came home. I detoxed, which is not a great idea. And I don't recommend anyone does this. Dangerous. But I detoxed at home. And the next day, I met with production. And I kind of said to them, hey, I'm trying to get healthier. I need to quit drinking. But I didn't really tell them the truth.
God.
And then I went on a ski trip and I reached out to Captain Sandy. And she really clarified it for me, which was, you had no problem getting drunk on camera. Why do you have such a hard time getting sober? And I told her the truth, because what if I fail? And she said, look, do it. You're going to be accountable. So Captain Sandy was really instrumental in me calling up my producer and saying, hey, here's the truth. I'm an alcoholic.
Mm.
I'm going to get sober. I'm going to try, and we're going to do it on camera, and we're going to do it right. We're going to show the full story. And they just said, okay, we're here.
Wow. I mean, I do feel like it made it harder on yourself, you know, having to go through filming, because there are so many situations with these women where alcohol is around.
I think in the promo, you see one party in particular where I was 30 days of not drinking. As I say, I wasn't sober yet, and I lost it and I spiraled. And you follow me that day. You follow me home. You follow me to my first community support meeting. And I mean, the viewers literally come everywhere with me on this journey. I didn't say no to the cameras. I let you guys into everything. And some of it's very raw and some of it's very beautiful, but it's all very honest.
Was there ever a point in filming where you maybe even said to a producer, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I have to stop filming.
Oh yeah. I think my exact words were, F you, get out of my house.
Do you remember what moment it was in filming that made you just so ready to quit?
You know, that trip to Miami was really bad. I knew the cameras were coming back and I knew I couldn't manage this anymore. I was blacking out a lot. I was literally drinking every half an hour. And I don't know if it started as I'm going to get sober forever, but it quickly became, I have to be sober forever. I can't drink anymore. But definitely that party at Shannon's house that we see on repeat and the promos, that day changed my life.
Mm. It does seem like, as I'm watching more and more from this season, your husband, Sean, seems to have unending patience for you and sort of strength as you're going through this. I mean, because we see you go through it and he just seems so solid. I mean, is he a saint or are we just seeing the best from him?
You know, Sean is not a saint. I think alcoholism is a family disease.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely an enabling. He goes to a community support meeting for that too. There's a lot of dynamics when someone in your family gets sober. It's not just me. It's the kids. It's Sean. He is a source of endless support, more than I could ever say. Is he a saint? No, but he's pretty damn close.
Yeah. You know, he clearly comes into the drama, comes into the fold because of these text messages that Gina had talked about last season. And it comes up again this season. What is it that made you so upset by Gina saying that maybe she felt like he was coming on to her?
I think one, it was just rude because that's obviously not what was happening. And for her to think something about someone that was trying to take care of her when she was too drunk to take care of herself was just rude. You know, when someone offers kindness to you, you don't turn it around like that. You know, he really was trying to protect her that day and get her home safe. I mean, it was bad. Not that I'm judging. I was in the same condition. It was after the tea party last year. We all went out after. So for someone to be so kind to you and then for you to turn around and make it something else, that was weird. I've actually never experienced anything like that. It's still weird to me. You know, even after all of this, I still don't understand how she thought that. That's just a place that I would never go to when someone's nice to me. But, you know, Gina has a very different background than me. So maybe she doesn't know what kindness looks like. But, you know, there's that.
Do you feel like at all it's also maybe you being so open about you and Sean and, like, you know, your relationship last season, do you think that it's also given the ladies license to sort of say things like that? You know, the phrase in the lifestyle has come up this season.
Absolutely not. My sexuality is mine. You know, I'm attracted to women. I'm attracted to them. And for me to think that just because I'm attracted to women means I'm attracted to all of them or I'm a predator is very condescending.
Right.
And I actually think it really hurts the LGBTQIA community to say that I would do something like that. You know, does Sean support the fact that I'm bisexual? Absolutely. You know, and that's amazing of him. But to assume that just because my sexuality is different from yours means that it's something inappropriate or predatory-ish, that's actually very demeaning. And that really, really puts people back, people that have fought so hard to come out back, you know, 50 years. That actually really does bother me. I hadn't really thought about it till you mentioned it, but that actually really does bother me that my sexuality is something that's up for debate in 2020.
Yeah. Maybe it's just my own personal knowledge of people who are ethically non-monogamous. And they do say that, like, being open about it, it makes everyone feel like, oh my God, what are they hitting on me? And it's like, no, chill out. Like, has nothing to do with you. Like you said, it's your sexuality.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I definitely am attracted to women, but it's a very certain type of woman. And Gina's not it. Not even close.
Okay. While we're on the subject of Gina, this has been bothering me since I saw the Super Tease, and I'm hoping you can shed light on this. Sometimes when we're watching Super Teases and stuff and everyone's angry and they're saying stuff and you're like, wait, what? I didn't understand what that person is saying. You and Gina are clearly arguing, and she says something to you that sounds like, you're sad bitch a wow wow. What is she saying?
Sloppy chihuahua. So the reason they kind of had a hard time editing is what you don't hear is her saying, go have a drink, Brown, go have another drink. And what I respond with, I'm 30 days sober, you bitch.
Mm.
And I don't think they obviously wanted to let that little grain of truth out before the first episode.
Yes.
So they definitely had a hard time editing it because that was I was 30 days sober. And that was how they found out, with the exception of Shannon and Emily, was her yelling at me to go to the bar. You're a drunk. Go to the bar, bro, and have another shot like you always do. And my response was, fuck you. I'm 30 days sober, you bitch.
That's a good line to have, though, at the ready, you know, for you.
And I'm having a premiere party. I have a drink named the Sloppy Chihuahua.
It's a Sloppy Chihuahua. That's what it is. That's amazing. Okay, so I know Kelly just got married this weekend. Were you there?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Kelly and I are diametrically opposed at the moment.
Yikes. Are we going to see that play out this season?
Absolutely.
Wow.
You know, quarantine physically brought us apart, but mentally it just, you know, really did a number on us. And a lot of people for 2020. I think what you see is pretty indicative of the country as a whole.
Right. Is there anyone that we might be surprised to see you get close to this season?
Gina and I made a lot of headway, I would say. I think we did make a lot of headway, but I'm currently not speaking to anyone on the cast.
Wow. Because?
Not that surprising. I have a big mouth and very strong views. And, you know, I do live a life that isn't as conventional as other people. You know, I live in a very conservative town and I'm not a conservative person. And I've gotten to a point now, I think sobriety really pushed me there, where I'm not hiding anything about myself anymore. I know who I am. I know what I want. You know, I'm comfortable in my own skin and my own choices. And it doesn't make everyone comfortable, but that's okay. Like I've said before, you don't have to support me, but get out of my way.
Wow. Well, I'm so interested to see how that will continue to play out. I mean, we don't just have the show, we have off the show and the time in between filming and the reunion. So,
yeah, a lot of things have happened to me since filming quit. We kind of touched on them the very end of the season, you know, where I was going, what direction was happening. You know, obviously there's been a lot of whisperings about the state of my marriage. And I will say this.
Yeah.
I am honest about everything. And I will explain everything when the time is right. But everything I'm doing right now, I am really happy with my choices. And I can honestly say 100%, I'm 42 and I've never been happier than I am right now.
Oh, well, now I just want to know what all those choices are. But like, I understand that when the time is right, you'll be open about that.
100%. Absolutely. I promise everyone, as the story unfolds, I will not hold anything back.
That's amazing. You know, obviously there's so many more things to ask, but I just so appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And I will say that it's so nice that you've been so open about this journey getting sober on camera. And I'm sure that was a tough decision, but I think it was the right one because you're going to be helping so many people.
It really has been a beautiful thing. And I just want to give a shout out to Lala, to Leah, to Captain Sandy. You know, I have had such amazing support from this Bravo family. And I really just want to give a shout out to everyone because I didn't do this alone. I had help and advice from so many other people in this, you know, world of ours. And I'm so grateful every day. So grateful.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Megan. Yeah.
Okay, should we talk Real Housewives of Potomac?
Yes.
So we are in Karen's hometown of Surrey, Virginia.
Yes.
God bless Surrey.
God bless Ashley and Giselle for being good sports. I feel like I have a lot of friends I love, but if they were like, you want to come to my hometown? I'd be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I get it, you know?
Right. But if Karen Huger invites you to her hometown, like that is something, that's something you can't miss.
I guess it's true. I guess you'd want to see what formed her, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, you know, Giselle talks about it in the after show where she was really surprised to see the humble upbringing of Karen, given this grand dame persona that she has put on in Potomac and in her life. You know, she really did come from these very kind of homegrown, you know, strong family, like fundamental beliefs that really kind of make sense. Then when you see the full picture, you know, you kind of get it. You're like, okay, I understand. I think it's, you know, she was a big fish in a small pond and now she's, you know, a big fish in a big pond in a lot of ways. But I do appreciate when we get to see these like housewives, like pre-housewives lives that they lived. And it definitely was, I think, really cool to see that other side of Karen. I feel like we're seeing a lot more of who Karen is this season, more so than any other season.
That's true. Yeah.
Carlene, her aunt, was obviously my standout family member that we met. I thought she was adorable.
She's the one who said, I'm just a bucket of tears.
Yeah, she just like is this fabulous, like kind of, you know, Southern lady who I feel like just has tons of wisdom, will just like be there for you whenever you need. Just her whole family, I feel like we really saw this strong foundation that, you know, made Karen who she is today.
You know that I'm a bucket of tears.
I know, right. We're not going to have that happen. We're not going to have that happen, right.
So the big thing, I guess, that happens while they are away is we learn that Karen has recommended, at least if it were her, that Candace press charges against Monique.
I talked to Karen on the phone, and without taking a breath, she said to me, oh, I'd press charges.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I feel like this may be an unpopular opinion, but I understand what Karen is saying, which is she is not recommending Candace, you should press charges against Monique. What she's saying is, I love Monique, but taking myself, you know, taking the people I know out of the story, if someone had done that to me, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would press charges.
Right.
Maybe Karen just is like, yeah, press charges against, but maybe she's just a flip-flopper. Who knows? But what I took away was not that.
Well, I don't think so. I think what's difficult is Karen feels very much in the middle. And I think it's kind of how you and I feel in this whole situation between Monique and Candace, there's a lot of people who want to say, let's pick a side. Like, whose side are you on? And many fans are divided. And some fans are sort of in that gray area in between. And I think more and more I am like Team Karen, in that I'm Team Everybody and Nobody. Like, I am trying to find the middle ground in this situation. And, you know, from Karen's perspective, when she's asked a question like that, and if I were asked a question like that too, like, would you press charges? In that moment, probably. And Karen talks about it more in the after show too, where she says, if that had happened, I would have called the police that night at the winery. I would not have moved. I would have waited until they came, filed the report and everything. Like, it wouldn't have taken me days. It would have happened right in that moment. And, you know, when you revisit that altercation, it is kind of shocking to think that there was no, you know, police involvement at that point, or that, you know, obviously they were taken away. Production did a great job of separating them and making sure that they both got to safety. So it wasn't necessarily a safety situation, but I don't know. I feel like my first thought when something like that happens is like, well, you got to call the police, right? Like, you got to do something.
But it's because, I mean, and maybe I speaking out of turn for you, but because it would never be your friend that did it to you, right? Like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I can't even wrap my mind around it being a friend that did it to me. That's what changes it. Of course, if it's a stranger, like, there's a crazy person attacking me. Like, I need to call the police. I can't even put myself in a position where someone who used to come over to my house all the time does that to me. Like, it doesn't compute. I don't know.
Yeah. I think for Candace, her first thought was probably not that, because it was Monique. It was someone she considered to be a sister, that she said it so many times. So I feel like, you know, for Karen to give Candace, I don't even want to say it was advice. I think it was Karen just saying, like, this is what I would do. Like, this is an option that you have. But she wasn't like, you need to go do this and like file that paperwork immediately. Like, she was like, this is my perspective on the whole thing. But in the same respect, she gave Monique the opportunity to come to her home and share her side of the story with all of the women. So it may feel off balance to some people, but I feel like Karen is, you know, doing what she can to give everybody the proper respect in the situation, at least for her as their friend.
Right.
How did Robin forget about that much income that she owes $90,000?
Are you okay with the
my taxes? It's bad.
I mean, the blog said like $90,000.
I don't even know if I can comment on that. Like, that doesn't seem real.
Like what did you forget about that you were like, oops, forgot to, you know, write that in for my income? Like, damn.
Also, I mean, I know a lot of people do. I don't even do my own taxes. I don't even try. Like, and I'm not, it's not like I have all these multiple streams of income. You know what I mean? But I know myself well enough to know, I should let a professional handle that.
Yeah, it seems like that is definitely what I would recommend Robin do moving forward, is just like,
yes,
work with somebody whose professional job is to make sure you don't owe the government more money.
The problem with that, though, wasn't it their accountant friend who stole from them?
Well, that is true. I guess previously they have had some issues with...
So you really can't win.
You really can't. I mean, it's just funny because it also seems like Robin is pretty unbothered by the whole situation. And she says this in the after show as well, where she's like, it's not like you forget to pay the water bill and they're going to shut your water off. She's like, it's like, what are they going to do if you forget to pay taxes? They're just going to remind you, like, you owe this much, you forgot about it, you have to figure this out. You know, but for me, and maybe it's because, like, I am not a wealthy person, but, like, I never want to mess with the IRS. Like, I just do not want to deal with any of that. So
I just feel like I've seen too many movies where things go wrong. I don't know. I can't.
I don't know. I appreciate that she's kind of nonchalant and unbothered by it, but it, you know, feels like that's just not how I would be reacting if I were her. But I mean, we see her dressing up as Tatiana and she's being all playful and like having a good time with Juan at their date, which, by the way, she forgot to take the tag off that wig. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh my God.
I mean, maybe it's part of the character that she's created from Latvia. You know, like, I don't know.
By the way, I don't think of myself as a prude person at all, but watching people role play gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh my God, does it?
It feels so uncomfortable for me, and I don't know why.
I know. It is one of those things where it's kind of the lowest hanging fruit when they tell you to spice up your love life, right? It's like, well, try role playing. Like, pretend you don't know each other and meet at a bar and try to, like, rekindle that spark that you first had. But I don't know if I'd be able to follow through with it, because I think I would just laugh a lot and not
– Yeah.
I'd have – trouble taking it seriously.
I also just feel like if I had a husband that looked like Juan, like, I wouldn't need any tricks to spice it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would just be there.
And he also,
on the surface, always.
He was not very good at the role playing. He was like, my name is Dylan. You know?
Well, I mean,
he wasn't really.
He probably feels like I feel, like he just wants to crawl into his skin.
I mean, probably, but like, lean in a little bit. Apparently, his, chosen profession too, which I don't think this made the air, but Robin said in the after show, was that he was a retired basketball coach. I'm like, come on, at least be a pilot or something, because I think she was supposed to be a flight attendant. Like, if you're gonna do it, you gotta commit all the way, at least.
So funny.
I mean, she got a wig and everything.
Do you and Danny role play?
No, I feel like maybe it's something we could figure out. I think it could be kind of fun, but also, like, we can't really go and hang out at a bar right now, you know?
You could go to an outdoor bar.
Well, like, meet in the park. I mean, I guess that's not so different for what the gays do.
Yeah.
That's just like a regular Thursday, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But no, it is just, I love those kind of moments. I love those moments of levity that we get on the show, especially when you're dealing with some serious issues that this season has been dealing with.
Totally.
What did you think about Wendy's sister, Ivy?
She seems just like Wendy. I also don't trust anyone who any adult that calls their mom or dad mommy and daddy.
I know. We've talked about this on the show. And do you know there are still listeners who will message me or, like, on Twitter or something, and they will be like, oh my God, my cousin, they call their mom mommy. Remember, we had this conversation, like,
yeah,
almost 2 years ago, probably at this point, about, like, the mommy.
I think it's funny
thing.
You still get messages.
Yes,
about it.
I mean, it is so interesting.
Because they're offended, or they also agree that it's terrible.
I think it's a mix of both, because I think some people, it is just the way that it was in their family. So it's just, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I think I am still, like, I still clock when I hear mommy or daddy, and just depending on the age or whatever.
Yeah.
But I honestly really loved Ivy, and I thought she had some really great energy, and I kind of started to, like, imagine in my head her joining the cast next season and having another Housewives franchise with some siblings, because we really haven't seen that in a while. I mean, Teresa and Melissa are sisters-in-law. We haven't really had, you know, Kyle's sisters on the show as main characters, at least, as you know, main housewives in a long time. I think it could be interesting to do it on Potomac. I don't know. Ivy seemed to be cool to me.
Yeah. She seems like the gate would definitely be two Wendy's, you know?
Yeah, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I love Wendy.
Well, I guess the end of the episode, towards the end anyway, we get this conversation between Monique and her pastor. And we do see Monique get pretty emotional and really start to show these signs of remorse, and even the way she talks about it. So what was your take on that whole conversation?
That this is what I mean when I say it means more for someone to come to a feeling of remorse on their own, as opposed to just being bullied by everyone into giving it.
Yeah.
You know, like, just because people say to say something and you do, it doesn't mean that you feel it. And I feel like this is the first time she was really coming to grips with, you know, this is more about me than it is about Candace, and she didn't deserve that. And yeah, I think I should call her, which it's just, you know, as a viewer, it's right. So frustrating, because you know that she's waited now too long for Candace, and now Candace is going to go to the police, and you're just like, oh God, call now, call right this second, you know?
I know. It is interesting as a viewer to be able to watch these moments where you're like, well, if you did it now, maybe things won't go the way they do, but we know that these charges are getting filed. We know what's going to happen. But it's true. There are these moments that you're just like, oh, man, if they would just have a conversation, it might be okay. You know, I'm happy to see that progress in Monique. I do feel like, given the way she is recognizing her triggers and understanding more about maybe the trauma in her youth or whatever it is that brought her to that point, I want her to give like Portia a call. Like Portia talked about it on Bravo's chat room, I think last week, being like, you know, I had to go to anger management. I learned a lot through this. You know, there are resources out there that I hope Monique will lean into more, but it definitely feels like this moment was a breakthrough for her. But I don't know. It's just... it's really tough to watch. I feel bad for everybody. All right, season finale, Below Deck Mediterranean. Here we go. Obviously, we're seeing Rob and Jess, what appears to be falling apart completely, but then they end up going to Bali together. So what happened after Bali?
Yeah, I feel like we didn't get enough information about, like, I just was left like, what? You know?
Yeah, it's, you know, looking at the whole situation, it feels like Jess just can't help herself. And Rob then capitalizes on that and almost gaslights her into being like, I can't do this because of the way you're reacting. And it's like, Rob, you said I love you first. You are the reason she and you and we are all here. So don't try to now pretend like this is all too much for you. I mean, Jess is definitely taking it to some next level in a lot of ways. But also, Rob was the one who really started this whole thing.
It's difficult. I just think that they're not good for each other. I think they genuinely bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah.
Because I see what you're saying. Like, I think that he's making it worse. I think she's making it worse. It's just not good. And it's sad to me that they can't make the healthy decision, which is to not go to Bali together.
Right, right. I mean, I think it's one of those things where when a relationship is in a certain place, you think, let's do this one more thing. And if it doesn't work, then we'll go our separate ways. But it feels like that's not how they went into Bali. So I really am looking forward to finding out at the reunion what went down during that trip or after that trip that caused the two of them to really just go their separate ways.
Just the look on Jess's face. It just must be so exhausting to be so jealous and angry all the time.
I know. And, you know, the whole night, everyone was so excited and happy. And you can feel the weight come off their shoulders once those charter guests leave and they're done for the season. And they are just like so relieved to be through such a challenging season. And Rob and Jess just cannot put the shit aside for one night. And it's like, it's on the way to the club. Jess is all emotional. And Rob is just like detached and wants to have a good time. On the way back, Jess is still emotional. And everyone's just like, man, is this how we're going out with like this kind of drama? Like, can't we just all get along for the final night?
Oh, I'd be pissed if I was the other group. Like, it's annoying. It's annoying to be around a couple that's always fighting and always angry about something.
Let's talk about our wish list for next season. If you could bring back two cast members from this current season to next season, who would you pick?
I think because they're broken up, Malia and Tom.
Ah.
I would want them to have to now work together being exes.
See, I like the way you think. You always think of it in like the next level way. Because I'm just thinking, I would pick Bugsy and Alex because I just really love Bugsy. I think she did a great job as Chief Stew, especially knowing that she didn't come in that role and she really stepped up. And Alex is just so cute and so nice and I think did such a great job. And I would love to see their like flirtation continue, but I like that you would be like, no, I want to see the awkward drama between two exes.
Actually, Bugsy annoyed me a lot in terms of her relationship with Alex. I just always felt she was very, I don't even know the word, but it's like she wants to kiss him in the dark when she's drunk. And then in the daylight, she's like, oh, I would never date you. And I just was like, and I don't think it's like teasing even. I think there's some seriousness to it.
Right. Well, you know, I think in the end when they were parting ways, or right before, I think it was the night of, like Alex was saying, I love what we have. Like, I appreciate this kind of relationship that we've created, because I think they have the ideal like crew member boatmance that should happen. There should be a lot of flirtation, a little bit of making out. If you want to go further than that, that's where it gets risky. And then at the end of the season, you're sort of like, okay, we had fun flirting, whatever, no hard feelings, everybody's good, and you move forward. Because
yeah,
Rob and Jess are the exact opposite, right? Like it just went all the way left. Whereas at least the two of them sort of walked away, like mutually understanding, like, okay, we had fun, we flirted, whatever. It was pretty clear that Alex had a little bit stronger attraction to Bucksy. But I'm just sort of like, you know what? This is how a boatmance should go. Nobody really gets hurt. Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn. What was your rose?
Okay, so on Bravo's chat room, Hannah introduces her grandmother to the group. I had never seen her grandmother before. She is gorgeous. Like, if I look half that good when I'm her age, I'll be cleaning up at bars.
Well, this is why she posts the thirst traps that yes. she posts, which, like, understandably so.
I just want to say, Playboy, if you're listening, my Nana's available. And my Nana is actually Nana! In the chat room right now. Nana! Nana! Oh, my Nana! Nana! Say hello. Nana! Nana!
Gorgeous. Okay. Look out, Luann. Nana has the statement necklace down.
Nana is the queen of chokers, and off the shoulder, she taught me.
Yes.
So, Giselle.
What was your rose?
Okay, my rose is very, very subtle, but I hope that somebody else noticed this. And it is Ashley Darby's lower back tattoo, which you can catch for like 1 second as she's getting out of the vehicle at one point in Surrey. And, you know, I've talked to Leah McSweeney about tramp stamps. Like, I have one. Like, I am not ashamed. I am proud. But I just happened to notice that Ashley has a lower back tattoo too. And I just, the more I learn about people who have them, the less alone I feel. I want to know what it is though. I'm hoping it's like a butterfly, you know? Okay, what was your thorn?
So my thorn was, I thought it was Karen's doorbell on Real Housewives of Potomac, but then Candace had the same one. So now I'm starting to think that it's just the Real Housewives of Potomac production inserts that noise, but it's like, boo, 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 boo. And I find it to be the most annoying sound in the world. And it grates me. And there's a lot of, you know, knocking on doors, doorbells. So it's my thorn.
Okay, so it's so funny that you say that about the doorbell, because we actually had a really funny moment during the Real Housewives of Potomac after show where Karen's doorbell rang because one of the crew members was coming in and out. And like, I gently threw a little bit of shade and we just had a really great moment together. So here's that. Okay, so why don't we get into Portugal?
Okay.
So there's a lot going on. Oh. I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Do you guys
hear
that?
Yeah, Lars is leaving. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
You trying to say my doorbell was noisy?
It was quite loud, Karen.
Okay, listen. I need to know when people are coming.
I don't blame you. You don't want no more pizzas getting delivered, right?
No, not really. Ah, bye. Hold on. Love you too. You safe travel.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, hold on. That was good. Okay. You making fun of my doorbell again? Do you hear the chimes behind it too?
Oh my god. Yeah.
Like, I want to know who's coming through my door. Yeah. All right. So where were we? Eric, my husband wants to change that chime.
Does he?
Yes. I may have to give it to him after you, sweetie.
You're welcome, Ray.
Hey, I'll let him know.
Yeah, let him know.
That's so funny.
Like, I'm so glad I have a lasting impact on your home, Karen.
What was your thorn?
My thorn, I'm going to give it to Jess in Below Deck Med when she threw the lit cigarette at Rob as he was walking by her. I'm sorry, but like, that is a fire hazard. Like, someone could have gotten hurt. But also, like, you're in a club. Like, that could have hit somebody else. It's just like, that just seemed like a really irresponsible and I don't know. It's just like, that's not how you roll. Like, you can't do that to people.
Yeah. I mean, there is a Sex and the City episode where a guy accidentally hits Carrie when he's flicking his cigarette because he's not looking. And she's like, oh my God, I thought a bee stung me. It burns.
Yeah.
Like, it can really hurt you.
I know. And I used to be a smoker. And I'm telling you, I've done that not only to myself, but to other people in the past. So I know the pain. And I'm like, no, it's just not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool, Jess. As many of you know, there is a major election this year.
And this year, it's not election day, it's voting season.
Coronavirus restrictions and other complications are causing many people to change their voting plans this election. Have you come up with a plan to make sure your vote counts?
Go to nbcnews.com/planyourvote to check out your state's voting rules and plan your vote with a state-by-state guide. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.